World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish. Hey,
pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I got a lot going on here this morning. A lot going on. Thanks for being here. Thanks for joining us. It is the 12th day. It's somebody's birthday, isn't it? See, they took President's Day, and they made President's Day the 20th, right? But whose birthday? Is it Washington's birthday today, the 12th? Is it Lincoln's birthday? Whose birthday is it today? Lincoln. That's what the left always do, right? And they always do. They give us George Floyd Day and then give Lincoln and Washington, they combine a day to give it to them. That's how they destroy it. Great book here. I just found on my desk. I want to talk a little bit about this. Man, I forgot it was down here. 50 Laws of Life. 50 Laws of Life. That's kind of where I want to go this morning. Excuse me. Hey, listen, somebody asked me yesterday. There it is. February 12th birthday, Abraham Lincoln. Today's Lincoln's birthday. I think that Washington's the 20th. And so they ended up giving us President's Day when they said, we'll just mix them all together and we'll celebrate all the presidents. Called it President's Day. But originally, it was Lincoln's birthday today.
And then we have Juneteenth.
Juneteenth, a whole day of Juneteenth. We have a whole month of Pride, right? I've been on a journey, a little bit of my own journey. I want to share it with you today. Before we do, yesterday, Spencer, I got a couple emails yesterday from people who said, Coach Dave, I can't find the links that you talk about. I can't find the links. Actually, three people, I think, maybe mentioned. Where is that link, Coach? Well, I'm going to show you today. Here's how, friends, look. Now, if you're watching on Rumble or you're watching on Facebook or other places where you may go, right? Here's where you have to go. After the show's over, go to Coach Dave Live, okay? When you go to Coach Dave Live, then Spencer's going to scroll down yesterday's show, okay? So he click on yesterday's show. And look what pops up. Underneath, it says show number, show notes. And then Spencer, I don't know why this is. Maybe it's something we ought to think about. Under show notes, why do we have to click on show more? Why wouldn't show notes just show notes? I don't know if that's an adjustment we can make. But anyway, folks, so if we used a link and maybe you're not in the chat and you were, where did I get that link? Go to Coach Dave Live. Walk them through it again, Spence. Coach Dave Live. You go underneath Coach Dave Live. Because there's a lot of good stuff that you ought to be able to share with people when you get down there. So there it is. You scroll down yesterday's show or whatever show. Click on it. Go down at the bottom. Show notes. Show more. And there are every link that we used. All right? So that's how you can find it. But remember, you're not going to find it on YouTube. You're not going to find it on the Patriot Party. You have to go to Coach Dave. When the show's over, go to Coach Dave Live and go down under the show links. And that's where you'll be able to find it. All right? Cool. Got a great opportunity today. I get to go speak to the seniors at the Worthington Kilborn. I love doing it, man. Taking them a little bit of truth, get a chance to go into. So I won't have much of an after show. I got to get up and roll and go do that. But I was telling you, I was in a little bit of a. I got thinking about this. Maybe you guys can help me. Spencer, pull up Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hang on. Anybody have anything for the good of the group before I get rolling on this? Because it's going to take me a minute to do this. Now, Bible's so interesting, isn't it? Now, faith. Not yesterday. Oh, yeah, Mel. I am speaking tonight to the, where is that, Mel? To the Republican Club, whatever, in Lancaster, Ohio. Mel's got it up on, maybe you can click on that Liberty Action Network event. I got an opportunity to speak to that group tonight. The Republicans, conservatives at Fairfield County. I'll be speaking down there at, open to whoever wants to come at the Pizza Cottage. It starts at 6:30. I think you can eat before. I think that they come, they order food and they yada, yada, yada. So anybody down and want to be part of that Pizza Cottage, put that in the chat form there, Spence, so they can find that. All right. Thanks, Mel, for being on top of it. Now faith is. Words mean things, right? How about later faith is? Later faith is. Or tomorrow faith is. No. Now faith. And not only now faith, but it's a substance. Faith is a substance. Hey, Spence, see how quick you are. Go to my friend Webster. What is substance? Substance. In general sense, being something existing by itself. Really? Equally applicable to matter or spirit. Thus, the soul of a man is called an immaterial substance, meaning you can touch it, feel it, huh? Or a cognitive, boy, this is good. I should have come here first. A cognitive substance. In other words, the ability to think and reason. A substance endued with thought. We say a stone is hard substance, tallow is soft substance. That which supports substance. The essential part of the main or material part. Faith is the substance. Faith's a real thing. Something real. Go back here, Spence. I'm sorry. It's fascinating. Something real, not imaginary. Something solid, not empty. A substance is real. It has substance to it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's not only the substance of things hoped for, it's evidence. It's the evidence of things that you cannot see. Hang on, this is going to be good. You're going to help me walk through this a little bit. Here's how this came to me. Stay right there in Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Daggone. How can you have evidence if it's not seen? Faith is a substance. Because faith obviously operates in a different realm. It's not in a visible realm. You can see faith. You can see somebody acting on faith in the natural realm. You can see them acting on it. But you can't see it. You see evidence of faith. What is that? Evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. And watch this. Through this substance, Spence, get ready to scroll here a minute. Through this substance, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Can't prove it, but through faith we can. By faith, Abel did this. Keep on going. By Enoch did this. By faith, this happened. And by faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, he sojourned. People look for a city. Through faith. Hang on. Whoa. It changed on us. They went by faith to through faith. What? Through faith. Also, Sarah received strength. She received strength through faith. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promise. They had faith for it, but they never received it. If I'm reading this right. But having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Let me ask you something. How can you be a stranger on the earth? Here's how this link popped up for me the other day. Where are you when you sleep? Last night I had a good night's sleep. I woke up once. I slept like a baby, as they say. Where was I when I slept? Because we all know this, right? We all have the ability within our brain, help me here, to understand past, present, future. Those are two, what we call them, dimensions? Would that be a dimension? Can you take somebody to the past? No, you can't take them to the past, but you can go there. In your mind, you can go back to the past. Can you go to the future? No, you can't go to the future, but it's there. Like when I did my show yesterday, today wasn't here yet, but maybe it really was. A dimension we don't understand. Go to Hebrews 12, just to the next verse. I'm sorry. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Pardon me. The heck does that mean? We are compassed about with so great a cloud of great witnesses. Where? Where? Because I realized that when I slept really, really well the other night, that time just disappeared. I have no memory of it. I woke up 7 hours later and came down, did my show. I had no idea what happened in the world, no 7 hours that I was asleep. What is sleep? Where am I when I sleep? Where is this great cloud of witnesses? Where are they? Are they a different makeup? We say, well, it's a spirit realm code. Okay, it's a spirit realm. Psalm 2. Go to Psalm 2 real quick, Spence. See how good you're doing. What is this other realm? We're trapped in this time-space continuum that we're in. Why the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? Kings that set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Where is this happening? It's happening somewhere. It says, let us break their bands asunder. How? They have cords? What do you mean they have cords? Are you watching what's going on in the government? Do you think there's anything out there? Huh? Have the rulers set themselves and are they taking counsel together against the Lord? And are their cords getting cut right now? Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from. What is this? What is he talking about? Wait a minute. Because there's some dude sitting in the heavens. And he's laughing at him. Huh? Time. Space, Matt, I want to play a real quick video for you. number one. Ken Hovind. Ken, where did God come from? So, hey, folks, hang on. It's really deep. This is really, really deep. There is a spirit realm. We are encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Just like I said before, we are the fish in the tank, and outside the tank, outside this natural realm, they're able to look at it. They know what's going on. That's why we never get away from anything with God. Right? He knows. That's why the demons know whether they're being effective or not, because they watch your faith be canceled. They watch the way that you operate and the way that you act. They know they're being effective. And so the devil, if I believe it right, is a spiritual realm. He sends assignments. He sends his demons on assignment. They say, hey, look at him. Look at him. There's a real blessing coming in his life. Go down there and mess him up a little bit, will you? Go down there and tickle his wife's ear and get his wife all distracted, will you? You understand, folks? So here's a really good, I heard this from Dr. Ken Hovind, and I began to think about all the men. How many dimensions are there? Do you guys know? How many dimensions are there? How many heavens are there? How can you be here and there? Here, there. Those are two different dimensions, aren't they? Here and there. Past, present, future. Time, space, matter. Go ahead and play this.
I am confused. Being philosophically consistent and being a very honest person, I'm sure you can tell me where God came from. And in addition, once you've told me where God comes from, please try to clarify how you can figure that a spiritual force can have an impact on a material universe to create it. I think that some years ago we already talked about that kind of thing in philosophical circles, at any rate, by posing the question, if angels are made of spiritual matter and a pen is made of material matter and spiritual matter displaces no space, how many angels can dance on the tip of a pen?
So obviously, hang on. So this guy's obviously an atheist, right? There isn't any God. And we're going to find out here that this guy is thinking only as a natural man. He doesn't have the ability. Remember, the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit because it's foolishness to him. This guy cannot understand what Ken Hovind's about to say to him. Hey, look, he can't understand it because it's spiritually discerned. He doesn't have the spirit of God to make it clear. But Kent does a pretty good job here. Go ahead.
The sense of sort of reversal experience here, but please do go ahead.
You got 5 minutes. Now I just want to know which question.
That's all right. You may take the rest of the minutes.
We're supposed to do one question at a time. Which one would you like? That was part of the format for the debate. So which question?
I want you to fill in the story of the rest of the beginning of the universe. God, spiritual matter, impact on material matter.
Okay. So two questions. All right.
Go ahead.
All right, your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong, obviously it displays that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Time, space, and matter is what we call a continuum. All of them have to come into existence at the same instant, because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth. There's matter. So you have time, space, matter created, a trinity of trinities there. Just, you know, time is past, present, future. Space has length, width, height. Matter has solid, liquid, gas. You have a trinity of trinities created instantaneously. And the God who created them has to be outside of them. If he's limited by time, he's not God. The guy who created this computer is not in the computer. He's not running around in there changing the numbers on the screen, okay? The God who created this universe is outside of the universe. He's above it, beyond it, in it, through it. He's unaffected by it. So the concept that a spiritual force cannot have any effect on a material body, well, then I guess you'd have to explain to me things like emotions and love and hatred and envy and jealousy and rationality. I mean, if your brain is just a random collection of chemicals that formed by chance over billions of years, how on earth can you trust your own reasoning processes and the thoughts that you think? Okay? So, your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping. That's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you.
Pretty good, isn't it? Pretty good. Remember, at the heart of this is the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit, neither can he. You cannot understand what we're dealing with here in America right now. If you don't have spirit eyes to understand that there's something supernatural that's happening, if you're just looking at it as Trump's come in and he's doing this and he's doing that and he's no, there are strong spiritual forces that are at work right now as we sit here. So talk about, I was going to Google, I didn't want to get into this. I'm going to open it up because I really want to hear from y'all. How many heavens are there? When people say, Well, the Bible says what? That the heavens declare the glory of God. That's plural. Plural. The heavens declare the glory of God. How many heavens are there? Past, present, future, liquid, gas. What's the other one? Everything seems to be in threes. Everything solid, liquid, gas. Everything seems to be in threes. The Trinity is in threes. And so I'm thinking as I'm laying there having that, I woke up that yesterday morning. I almost talked about this yesterday morning. I woke up yesterday morning and I asked myself this. Where did those 8 hours go? Where did they go? And then if you were to ask me something, hey, Coach Dave, when did you graduate from high school? My Rolodex will, and in my mind, I'll be back at Lakewood High School, and I'll have that memory of where I was in 1971. Somewhere back in there, there's a Rolodex of past that somehow we're able to, we can't go to the past, but we can connect to it. In fact, I remember when I got married. I remember that joy, that how much fun my wedding was. I can't take you there, but I was there. And I understand what's going on, but I can't even take you to yesterday. I can't even take you to 9-1-1. I can't take you back to when JFK was killed. We can talk about it. I can bring evidence of it, but I can't take you there any more than I can take you someplace tomorrow. I can't take you there tomorrow. How many dimensions are there? I guess maybe that's what I'm asking. And how is it that Almighty God is able to communicate with us through all of these dimensions? What happens? Where do you go when you die? Where are you when you are asleep? You're a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul, the immaterial part of us. Where does that go? And I think that's part of what we're seeing going on in the world right now with AI and all that kind of stuff. They're trying to figure out how to breach that gap. Time travel. Time will travel. Can you go back in time? Well, I can in my mind. I remember how pretty Michelle looked at our wedding. And she's still pretty, but she ain't pretty like that. But I can go there. I could take you when Zach was first born. I was in that room and he popped out and the joy. I'd take you there. That clearly exists. But where is it? Where's God? Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, bring that up. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm sorry, 12. Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Where? Where? Wow, this is so deep, isn't it? And so we're shocked and we're surprised when we look and we understand that God is the arbiter of truth, justice, right. God's the arbiter of that. And we've taken away from our children and our school even the idea, the belief of God. And so therefore we fall into a pattern of believing what men have to tell us. And we look at our government, look at the lies that our government has been telling us. Elon Musk said yesterday that there's hundreds of elected officials that have gotten rich off of government. Elected officials. How? Where? When? Why? What do you think? What do you think? Can you get to the past? What about those who've had what they call a near-death experience? They left their body. Hey, Stephanie, I don't know if you're out there. What about those who astro project? Is that real? Are people really able to come out of their bodies and go into another dimension? How many dimensions are there? First heaven, second heaven, seventh heaven, how many? What? And because we're trapped in this time-space continuum, which Dr. Hoagland was talking about there, We have the inability to understand things outside of it. That's why the Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, because he can't. It's spiritually discerned. And the Spirit is the electric cord that connects us to that other realm. And you look around the people that you come in contact with, you can have a conversation with them, and you can know in 5 minutes whether they get it or whether they don't. Why is that? The heck's going on? We're also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. My mom in heaven? Who's looking at us right now? And how does it impact what we're doing here? Johnny, come on back in. I saw you. I'm going to shut up. Come on in a minute.
You just made me think of my mom took care of my grandpa when he was dying of cancer back in 71. She nursed him. And the last thing he said as he was dying, he looked up and he said, "Well, I'll be damned." And that was the last thing he said.
Hey, so Johnny, that doesn't... What about this, Johnny? You reap what you sow. Doesn't the Bible teach that? If you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. What? Roger.
Yeah, and Coach, I just wanted to say, you know, we talk about how God defines what we know of physics, you know. When he created the stars, he simply spoke, and every one of them went to their appointed place.
That's what the Bible says, huh?
Yeah. And so if scientists want to tell us today that it takes light years, many light years for the stars to reach us, they went there instantly. They've been there ever since he put them there, and they're going to stay there until he changes it, you know?
Because you know why that is, though? Because we don't understand how it all worked. I know this, that if I want to put a new bulb, if I get my bulb burns out here in my studio, I got to put a new bulb in there. I know how to do that, but I don't know how to create light without electricity. Anybody know how to do that yet? Anybody figured that? I haven't figured that one out, right? Yeah. I don't even think about it. I walk over here and I turn the light on and lights come on. I turn the light off and lights go. What? Where's electricity? Where is it? Where is it? Because I can go to every outlet in my house and plug it in and have electricity. Where is it?
With God, there's a speed that's faster than the speed of light.
Well, it's outside of time.
Yeah.
It's outside of time. See, we can't conceive of that because we're trapped in time, right? Oh, my goodness. And so we find ourselves trapped into having natural battles with people in positions of authority who have no spiritual understanding. And none. They have none. Even some of the people you go to church with have no spiritual understanding. They don't. To the degree, they have it to a degree. Did you ever say to somebody, "Oh, if you knew what I knew"? You ever said that to somebody? Do you ever give counsel to one of your small children or your grandchildren, and you know that what you're about to say is so important, but they don't understand it? And so you say to him, "You're just going to have to trust me. Just got to trust Grandpa. This is what you need to do, right?" And could it be this? Even though I'm 73 years old, am I 73? Whatever age I am, that I still have to trust in the Lord for things I can't see and things that are. Folks, it's really, really deep. Really, really deep. And death. What is death? What is death? Is it just passing from one dimension into another dimension? Because, see, I talk about this all the time. Well, where do you go when you die? Because there's a great getting up morning, isn't it? Resurrection of the dead. Well, where are they? Where are they? Are they in some other realm that we have no understanding of? You heard people say that they had a near-death experience, and they were out there, and they could see, and they follow. My father-in-law, Michelle's dad, Charlie, had a heart attack. He's passed now, but he had a heart attack when he was about in his late 50s, I think it was. And he survived. but it radically transformed him, because he said when he was on the table and they were trying to resuscitate him, he was above watching them. He would start crying when we talked about it. He was above looking down as they were resuscitating him. Man, huh? Man. Paul Gosson said he's been there. And we call that an out-of-body experience. Maybe the natural realm is the fake part. Could that be? Could be the spiritual realm is the real part. Faith is the substance. Faith really operates in that spirit realm. When you apply faith, it's like putting a credit card in, that faith makes the machine run. I don't know. But because we're trapped in this natural realm, and these kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers are taking counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, this spiritual battle, we don't even get it. We don't even get it. That this battle that we're walking through right now, just a trial. It's just an exercise for the next realm. I don't know, man. You talk about this much in church? Do we talk about that? Heaven, hell? Gino, come on in.
Yeah, I was just going to say, the gentleman that brought about his mother nursed his grandfather, my mom told us the story the night my grandma passed away. My mother wasn't even a Christian at that time. And my grandma died with cancer, breast cancer. And she was in the bed. And my mom remembered the fact that she was crawling, just like she was on her hands and knees crawling somewhere. And all of a sudden, she just relaxed. And she says, I made it. I see the gates. I made it. And so I'm going to cry. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Hey, Spencer, pull up 1 Corinthians 15. Pull up 1 Corinthians. I got another personal story I could tell. I'm not going to tell. I'm walking through this myself here right now. Right? Where am I? When I go to sleep, where am I? Go clear down the bottom. I'm gonna go down to like 50. Because this all talks about this. This all talks about it. In a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. What? In the moment, the twinkling of an eye, the last trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What? We shall be changed. Is that a bodily resurrection? For this incorruptible must put on, this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who give us the victory through our Lord Jesus. This is unbelievable, isn't it? Really unbelievable how we cling to this. All right, I get it. Ecclesiastes 7. Explain this one to me. I know I'm all over the place this morning. I hope when we're done, you're thinking too. Ecclesiastes 7. Right there. Right, Gino? A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Now, can somebody tell me how that can be? The day of your death is better than the day of your birth. What?
I can give you an answer, Coach.
Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, let's just go back to that same thing you said. We tell our children, trust me, because sometimes they don't see, nor do they understand. Because we've been around and we've seen some things, correct?
Right.
Let me tell you what that scripture is. It is of God. God has been around forever. He has seen some things and he knows some things that we don't understand.
Amen. Well, it says we see through a dim glass. Isn't that what it says? We see, right, we see part of it. We can see the flash of a light out there in the woods. We see dimly, right? And unfortunately, or for however you want, it doesn't really matter. We have made this existence of ours all about this life, and it ain't about this one. Eternal life. Eternal. Everlasting life. dudes. Elizabeth.
This is so up my alley right now because this is what I've been focusing my attention on. So I discovered several years ago, I believe that the soul is housed in the gray matter of our brains. So if you look at what gray matter is, it controls all of the aspects of our life that we consider part of our soul. So I'm doing a study right now that's called What New Age Got Right. And it's showing how New Age has ripped off the parts of Christianity that the American church is missing out on. And part of that is viewing the soul as what they call consciousness. So I've got so much information on this. I'm still working out the kinks before I type it up, but when I type it up, it's going to be world changing.
Human beings made up of three parts, right? We know this. Actually, it's probably more than that, right? But you are a spirit. God breathed into man the breath of life. God breathed life into us. You're a spirit. You live in a body, and you possess a soul. And the eternal part of you is the soul. And your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what you carry through this earthly life. And at the moment of death, what happens? The spirit of life returns to God. The body, remember man, you're dust, and to dust you shall return. And the soul, where does the soul go? Well, we teach heaven or hell, right? But what did they say about Lazarus? When they showed up, his sisters showed up, Jesus showed up, Lazarus just died. And they said, Jesus, if he'd been here, he wouldn't have died. And what did Jesus say? He ain't dead, he's asleep. Folks, this is so deep. And we understand it so in such a shallow way. Mark, I don't care if Mark's in here, it doesn't matter. Listen. Artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence? How can artificial intelligence think for us? Evidently, somehow there's the ability to be able to do that, and we call it AI. How's this work? Hey Siri, when was George W. Bush born?
George W. Bush was born July 6th, 1946. And is 78 years old.
How does that work? There's clearly a dimension or dimensions beyond this one that we're sitting in right now. Look, I can't trick Siri. I can't. Hey, Siri, where was Mickey Mantle born?
Mickey Mantle was born in Spavinaw, Oklahoma.
What the heck is going on? What's going on? Craig, come on in. I'm sure you got this one, Craig. Go ahead, babe.
Well, first, there's no artificial wisdom. So that would be the first thing.
That's right.
Go back to the tree of knowledge. Okay. The Bible gives us the clues if we're willing to just ask the questions and let the Lord lead us through his word. So when Adam was created, he was created for eternity. Okay. There's no unclean souls. You don't see the Bible go, well, he has an unclean soul in him. He has what? An unclean spirit in him. Yeah, okay.
Right.
So as Elizabeth is alluding to, okay, your soul is the physical and your brain is physical, but it's also a spiritual component. That's why it's your soul.
It's a conduit. So, it's a conduit.
It's the conduit.
Information,
right?
Conduit. That's
all right. Right. Yep. Right. Yeah, because it takes on information, it perceives it, and it makes things happen. You can control your soul because you can control your pie hole.
The soul is just a computer software. It's just the download into the computer that makes it. Yeah.
Well, it's also your body. It's also your physical. That's why David said, please don't leave my soul in Hades, okay?
Yep,
so getting back to your original question, why is your is your death better than your birth? Because your vessel, which is your soul, which is your body, was condemned to die. Not your spirit. Your okay. And Adam said, when you eat of that fruit, you will die. Okay. His spirit didn't die. His vessel, which is his body, his soul, did die. Okay. So from if you think of it potentially from God's or our perspective, is we're going to be clothed in a new body. This spirit that we have right here is going to be clothed in eternity into a vessel that cannot be damaged again.
Craig, Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of death? That's why death is a promotion, folks. You're delivered from the body of death.
Right. And so when we get our new bodies, when we're close, our tent, our house, whatever, you look at what the Bible talks. It says your tent, your house, your residency, if you want. Okay. That's why Ecclesiastes 7 says it's better that your death is, because you don't have to go through this ups and downs and, you know, looking forward to the bad things of earth.
And Craig, in my father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Right. So there has to be something physical about this place. It has to be.
In Revelation, it says, and God will tabernacle amongst men. That's what the end of the book says. God will tabernacle amongst men. God was tabernacling with Adam in the garden.
It has to be a real
amongst
place.
Him in the coolness of the day.
It has to be a real place, folks. It has to be a real place. Maybe not in the natural realm, but this is a real place. A real place. Wow. John Brockoff. Go on, John.
Hey, Coach, earlier you said that you were 73, but you're actually only 72. I just added an extra year to your life. You're welcome.
Thanks, John. Well, John, not only that, 9 months tacked onto that, right? My life began at the moment of conception. We measure life from birth. I don't think God.
Right.
Interesting, huh? Rochelle.
Hey, good morning, team. I love talking about the Bible. I had to hop in here today. So, when you brought up the scripture about the day of death is better than the day of your birth, and this doesn't make sense as a natural person, no. But when you read the Bible, you understand that, and people who have come back from the near-death experiences you kind of mentioned, they always have this comment that seemed more real than this.
That's right.
And
how nice it was and the music and all that stuff, right?
Right. And the scientists will just say that's just your brain doodling or whatever. But when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus and they get caught up in the phrase being born again, like people say that they're a born again Christian now. I don't think you can be born again in this body. I think what Jesus was talking about is being born in the spirit. And, you know, maybe those near-death experiences, you know, when they talk about they saw the light, we know that there's light therapy here on earth in the physical. What if your soul and spirit's getting some light therapy up there in heaven to be able to come back into your body? I mean, there's so many questions, but one thing I'm really certain is that this is just a blip, a little teeny tiny speck. And this probably determines our placement in the next life. So the little decisions we make here, whether they're good or bad, they add up and they mean something at the end. And also our regrets. I mean, what would have happened if Adam and Eve just fessed up right at the beginning and showed remorse and regret to their God instead of trying to scapegoat it or not understanding the magnitude of what they'd done?
Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? There's something about the body that contains death. Certainly. Dale, thanks, Rochelle. Come on in, Dale.
Amen, Coach. This is good stuff. To answer with Rochelle, had Adam, right? Eve ate nothing, Adam ate. He had a responsibility. But let's go back to this. What happens to the soul? The 1 John chapter, let me see, what is this? 1 John, I believe it's chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, watch this, two things, we will be like him. Because we will see him
as he is.
Just as he is. Yeah. That rosy glass, Coach, is because we're looking through the natural eye. But when we are transformed, that is the transforming of the mind, the repentance, getting the mind of Christ. But when we see him in that day, our soulish realm will be transformed because it will be like him.
Amen. Amen. So, Dale, I keep coming back to the same question, though. Where do I go when I sleep? Where do I go? Where do I go?
Hey, let's go back to your first little talk earlier. When you tell your children, trust me, you don't understand it right. Hey, your heavenly Father says, trust me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Amen. Don't lean on your own understanding. Hey, look, folks, I just put in the chat, Adam did a show yesterday with Pastor Bill Dunphy. It's in the chat. Y'all are watching. Did a really, really good job with it. Come on in, Adam.
Thanks, Coach. I love the discussions that everybody's having this morning, and I wanted to share something with you and everybody else that I always thought was amazing. You know how scientists would say that if a star is 40 billion light years away, well, then the Earth has to be at least 40 billion years old, because that's how long it takes the light to travel from point A to point B.
Right.
But if you open up the book of Genesis, God says he put the light in the sky first, and then he put the things that makes the light in the sky afterwards. So we never had to wait for that light to travel. It was already there. So God is an amazing God. And thank you for mentioning the interview that I did, Coach. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, he's a great guy.
Because we're experiential, folks. We can only explain to somebody what we've experienced. Look, I don't know about you. I ain't never been to heaven. People say they've had a near-death experience. And I always stop them right there. It's near-death. It ain't a death experience. It's a near-death experience. So a near-death experience gives you a glimpse of it, but you still don't really understand it. Still don't really understand death. We know this. Where's death? Where's your sting? Huh? There's something really good about death. Something really good about it. If you're a child of God. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, I've got to use that scripture twice in the last year. About a year ago, I walked in my mom's house. Stepdad had just passed away. He's laying in the bed, dead. She's sitting beside him with her hand on his chest, just already missing him. I used that scripture with her and just talked about how he was a good man. 45 years they were married. And I know at first she didn't understand it when I read that scripture to her, recited to her. So then here we are a year later. I'm at the graveside. My mom's dead now. And family members didn't know that 2 months before she died, I was at her house 3 or 4 times on Sunday afternoons. Nobody around. We had these conversations. I remind her of that about Clyde in the bed. And she was like, I can't wait to go be with Clyde.
Hmm.
At the graveside, I read that scripture again. And oh my goodness, my own brothers and sisters were mad at me. They say they're Christians. But that upset the apple cart at the graveside. And now to this day, they're not speaking to me. I'm like, and my sister said, maybe you should get to know somebody better before you speak at their funeral. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Oh, so listen, folks, this is important for us to understand. I think this is theology 108 from me. Death takes us out of this dimension. There's no time outside of this realm that we're trapped in. There's no time. There's no time. And so when people die, whatever happens to you when you die, if you think you go to heaven, if you go to Abraham's bosom, whatever is out there you think, understand this. Wherever those people are, there is no time. Not as we know it, right? Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How does that work? Huh? Jesus said to the thief on the cross, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Didn't say heaven. You're going to be with me in paradise. What does that mean? Is there some kind of holding tank? See, we get trapped into where we are because we operate in a time-space continuum. We cannot get out of this earth realm, time and space. We can't get away from either one of those things. We're trapped in it, see? So death is, we're released. We're released from this. Now, I don't want to falsely make everybody say, oh, happy, say, yeah, because where do you go? Uh-huh. That's a whole different story, isn't it? But the reality of it is we all die.
We all leave this place and we're all going somewhere. Where is that? Dale.
Yeah, hallelujah. That somebody else is open. That message on the thief on the cross, when he says, remember me when you come to your Father's kingdom, and he says, you will be with me in paradise. That is the Greek word paradio, which means the garden of pleasure or and Eden. Luke chapter 19 talks about Zacchaeus, and when he comes down, he says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save, not those, but that which was lost. Coach, what was lost? Whoa. Oh, I know. Go back to the garden. Guess what? The fellowship, the koinonia between God and man. You're not getting to the kingdom unless you walk with God first.
Amen. Ain't going to get there, man. Amen. Oh, this is so deep, isn't it? We're so shallow. We're so shallow in our belief system. Dave Allison.
Good morning, Coach. Again, a great teaching this morning. You know, I got thinking about the cloud of witnesses. You know, what is a cloud made up of? Cloud is made up of particles. And really what the scripture is really alluding to there is all of those, so many have come before, they make up all of those particles. They make up that's that cloud of people that have come before us and testified of their faith. Coach, when you die, your hope is that your grandchildren, your children look at you and say, that was a person of faith. You become part of that cloud of witnesses,
right?
And it's just like I had a lap. Well, I'm thinking about, Coach, have you ever driven down a gravel road on a sunny day about 70 miles an hour, and as you go through, you pass through, people look out the window and they see a great cloud. You're long gone, but that's a cloud of witnesses that you went through before. And if we're going to do is die and sit up in a cloud and look down at our loved ones, I'm sorry, I'm not. But so many people buy into that. They hold on to that hope that mom and dad's looking down at me and they see me do this great thing. But they never were looking down when we're doing something bad. We're knocking off the liquor store.
Yeah, they ain't watching that one, are they?
No. But that cloud of witness, I'm sure that just refers to, is a great group of people that came before us that testified their faith. Testified of God's truth in the word.
So, Dave, what about the iCloud? So evidently there is a cloud up there, isn't there? There is some type of cloud, an iCloud where all the information is stored, all of that. It's somewhere. Where? I don't know. It's in the iCloud. Mark Trump, go ahead, Mark.
I just read some verses in there about sleep. The Bible tells us to capture every thought. Okay, how do you capture every thought in your sleep, Coach?
I don't know, brother.
All right, so at the conference that I met you in, it was Ray Marzulli actually educated us on sleep paralysis. I'd been a victim my whole life. And that meeting, I conquered it. Through Jesus, because I was educated. Now, how is it possible that you could have that bondage on you in your sleep? Knowledge is what gave it to me, Coach. Knowledge enabled me to pray for protection and break that bond that was over me. And I never knew it. I've never been spiritual before then, ever.
Wow, really?
So it's been never. No, I was traditional Baptist, just a worker and traveling around doing my job, living my life, you know. Yeah. I was in the world. But I don't think everyone realizes that, Coach, that when you are asleep, you are relying on your relationship with God for protection.
Wow.
If when you go to sleep, you leave the door open because of your sinful ways or whatever, you're actually the Lord of your temple. And you left the door open. You told the servants to leave it open. So do you think the guards are going to be there, the angels, during your sleep?
Wow.
All right, you are the king of your temple. You go to sleep, you leave your doors open, just like at your home. Okay? You're a spiritual being in a physical body for now. But I don't think we may have the same physical form, Coach. Physical is a term of the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, end. Mm-hmm. And like Rochelle said, this is a blip. The whole purpose of this is what's to come, which is the salvation of the third of the people on earth. Mm-hmm. The whole beginning is the third of the angels fell. in the end is a third of the people get preserved. Everyone else in hell goes into the lake of fire and it's over. Who knows what comes after it?
Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Yeah, it's deep, buddy. It's deep. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many of you, before you go to bed, been surfing the internet and can't figure out why you can't sleep? Jeff, quickly.
Coach, if you can, that Ecclesiastes 7.
Yeah.
Have him pull it up and just read down through there about 13, 14 on down through. I just was reading some of that. It's interesting. And I've always stopped at one. You know what I mean?
Right on 13 or 14. 13, 14. For wisdom is a defense and money's a defense, but the excellency of knowledge is the wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Knowledge is the most valuable thing. And with all the knowledge, get wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Consider the work of God, who can make that straight, which he hath made crooked. You cannot change what God has already cast out there. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider God also hath set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. This is it's Ecclesiastes is really good. Neil Levy, come on in, Neil.
Just want to add on to what Mark Trump said. My evening prayer, or should say our evening prayer, is, Father, we ask that you keep your guardian angels around us, protect us, our family, and our property. We ask that you keep the evil one away and out of our dreams, and we ask for a new day tomorrow. That's our evening prayer every night.
Amen. Because why? Because evidently you are able to be tormented in your sleep. What is that, man? What is it? See, when you go to sleep, you close off the natural realm. You close it off. But do you close off the spirit realm? Is your soul sleeping? Is your mind throwing things back and forth? Did you ever wake up in the morning and say, boy, I had the craziest dream? But the truth of it is, most of us, when we wake up in the morning, we don't remember what we dreamed about. We don't remember. Sometimes I'll wake up and I'll say to Michelle, man, I didn't sleep very good. And she'll say, why? I said, I don't know. I was just troubled. What? How am I troubled in my sleep? What are you talking about? Yet it's real, isn't it? It's real because we don't understand these dimensions and how they interact and what they cause us to do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Get me out of this body. Daryl, come on in.
Great show, Coach. Great topic. Here's one to contemplate. Don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Oh, boy. That's right. Don't let your sun go. Why? Because evidently something happens when you're sleeping. Something.
Amen.
You're not conscious, but something's going on, man. The interaction of your soul with, I don't know, man. I don't know. The memories.
Hey, Coach, let's request L.A. jump on the show and teach us about dreams and what he's learned. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be a great show?
You'll have to get up early. I'll try to get a hold of him and see. Daryl, go.
Well, you have just left my hand up. Yeah, sorry.
Craig, go. You're the last one, Craig.
Just look up, do high magnetic fields disrupt your sleep? The spirit is a magnetic realm. And it affects your brain.
Yeah. How many of you are sleeping with the internet right beside your ear? 5G coming in and out and around. See, folks, look, it's because we do not understand the other realms and the other dimensions. Can somebody tell me how this works? Can somebody tell me when did the Cincinnati Reds last win the World Series?
The Cincinnati Reds have won the World Series championship 5 times, in 1919, 1940, 1975, 1976, and 1990. This answer is from Wikipedia.
How does that happen? How does that happen? We're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Wow. If we could see what was around us, we'd have a far greater understanding of what the heck's going on. See you tomorrow.